This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Stuart Archer. Stuart's the CEO of Oceans Health. Oceans Health is in the behavioral health world. We're going to talk about what's changing in behavioral health, what's going on, what we should be thinking about, and more. Stuart, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure. Thank you, Scott, and I want to thank you and your team for having me here on your podcast. It's a real honor to be here. Yeah, I'd be happy to. Oceans Healthcare is a behavioral health provider. Today, we are primarily in the Southeast. We're one of the largest providers here and have hospitals, 29 locations across Louisiana, Texas, and Mississippi, with a focus on the care, both inpatient and outpatient, for behavioral health patients in underserved markets.
Jibbles, and how did you get yourself into the behavioral health world? How did that happen?
Sure. Well, you know, like many of us, I think our professional journeys have had their twists and turns. I started my professional career really in a whole other industry. I was a college football coach, of all things. And after playing in college, I decided that coaching was for me. And so, like many young coaches, I was scrapping together my pennies and had to pick up a second job. And so on the weekends and after hours, I worked as a nursing aide at a hospital, a long-term acute care hospital. And really through that experience, felt a calling and that healthcare was really, you know, where I was intended to be. So I left coaching and was able to join a growing organization very early in my career and had a chance to rise and work in different projects and from there have really found a wonderful ability to contribute to the lives of others and to make a difference. And so through that have had a chance to work in post-acute and the acute care side of healthcare, and about 5 years ago joined Oceans as the CEO here after working as the COO of a large long-term acute care hospital here in Texas.
More of a pleasure to coach football players or to lead an executive team? How do you differentiate those two?
Yeah. You know, I would tell you this, that we all have these roles in life that have trained us and that have given us great examples of either what to do or what not to do. I would say that I learned more from being a player and a coach in those handful of years than I learned from any business class or book I've read. I think the tenets are the same. I think that you have to build a common vision for your organization. I think you have to, you know, keep the things that are important to your organization culturally in front of everyone. You have to live that. You have to breathe that. You can't just have it on a plaque or on the wall. And I think, you know, one of the things that I was very lucky is that I had coaches and organizations that treated their players with a lot of dignity, that certainly saw their role as educators and teachers as much as anything. And we've tried to bring those tenets here to Oceans, to our organizations, in the way that we work with each other and the way that we certainly work with our families and their patients.
Thank you. And talk a moment about the world of behavioral health. So many changes going on, so much greater appreciation for it. What are some of the things that are changing and going on in it?
Sure. I think it's a very exciting time to be in behavioral health. You know, notwithstanding the major issues that COVID has placed on our industry as well as many others, you know, we are seeing on multiple fronts, I think, increased awareness about the true cost, the hidden cost, both from a societal and a financial perspective, of not properly funding and planning for the behavioral health needs of our communities and our nation. We are seeing more than ever, I think, the role of technology and being a real force multiplier, if you will, in the behavioral health space, as well as more evidence-based treatments than ever in the areas of addiction and behavioral health. So for me, you know, this is one of the health challenges challenges of our generation. And as a nation, I'm really excited about, some of the tailwinds and the focus that we see happening.
Thank you. And when you look at your big priorities now at Ocean's Health, talk about your biggest priorities and what you see as your top three or so priorities.
Sure. So I think for us, we are very focused on, and it's, and anytime you have, alignment, and you should have alignment as a health system with what are your patient's greatest needs, and that's access. We're very focused on making access to behavioral health for our patients, families, and communities easier and more accessible than others. One of the things that we hear, many times, Scott, is just, we didn't know where to go for help. We don't know who to go to, or we're embarrassed to ask for help. And so we're certainly utilizing many of the barriers that we see dropping rapidly in telemedicine, for instance, to increase access. I think secondly, workforce development is a huge issue right now. We have just simply not invested in nor made it a priority for many of our teaching institutions or others that, behavioral health is a great field to go into, and one in which people can have rewarding careers. And then I think lastly, one of the priorities for us has to be working through and understanding how COVID is going to affect our communities and our nation, over the next several years. We believe that, a tidal wave of patients are to follow in the next several weeks and months as we make our way through these challenging times. And we're certainly working with a large group of shareholders to recognize that, while COVID has been thought of largely through a medical lens, what does it mean from a behavioral health lens? And while many of our health systems have performed amazingly and in heroic ways, there really wasn't many ways to be prepared for a public health emergency of this size, but we don't have to be caught flat-footed in the behavioral health side. We shouldn't be surprised, and we need to take steps now to prepare for, what we believe is to follow over the next several months.
Let me ask you to talk about that for a moment. There's been studies showed that overdose and addiction issues are way, way up due to lockdowns and so forth, in addition to the stress of COVID-19 itself, that depression's up, anxiety's up, all those things are up. And how does that translate into behavioral health needs, and how do you manage some of that?
Sure. I think that, I think you have to look at the current state of behavioral health. When you look at Texas, for instance, over half the counties in Texas have no practicing psychiatrists. So even before this, people were very much challenged to get timely access to a prescriber and to see someone. And you layer on to that, kind of generational stigma around behavioral health, and you create a very challenging environment, even in the best of times, for a behavioral health patient to access care. Now that, we have COVID, people have been very fearful to come to hospitals except for things in the most, in emergency situations. And I think we've even messaged that out of an abundance of caution. And so now that, we are in many of our communities loosening those restrictions, we are encouraging families and patients to, in the same way that you don't put off your medical care, your visit with your primary care doctor or your cardiologist, acknowledging that visit may look a little different, may feel a little bit different in the short term, that your behavioral health, your visits with your practitioners or seeing a therapist, those are just as important. And in many times, will help predict and help guide how you do medically. I think we also have to acknowledge the tremendous stress that is going on in our nation right now. You can almost feel it when you're in our community. So if you're someone in an industry that's had layoffs or furloughs, if you're a frontline caregiver and you've just lived through this tremendous stress and pressure, or if you're a an adolescent. And I think that's one of the stories that hasn't been told as much, is that we, you know, for children and for adolescents in this, that are also seeing a lot of the stress and seeing a lot of the issues that are going on. They're experiencing a lot of worry and anxiety, and potentially have parents and loved ones who are going through this as well. So I think we've got to be very in tune for and understand that, you know, we can't just look at this through a medical lens.
Thank you very, very much. And it's so true. I mean, we know that there's the medical issue of worrying about the horrendous impact on people's lives and respiratory health and people that have died from COVID. But there's also a huge impact of the different ways of handling this that lead to a tremendous amount of behavioral health issues. I can't tell you, Stuart, how much I appreciate you joining us today. An amazing career journey from football player, football coach, to working in a clinical setting, to now CEO of a very successful behavioral health outfit and chain. Just magnificent, Stuart. Thank you so much for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast today. Thank you.
Thank you, Scott.